This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday hump day. Congratulations, you've crested the peak of the week and it's all downhill from here. We are gonna have such a good time tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We're gonna talk about why everyone hates feminists, therefore everyone hates Democrats right now. How many secret Democrats do you think there are? Meaning, how many Democrats do you think are out there who support Trump and his policies? We'll talk about that. Massive, massive decrease in the foreign-born population. The worst gangsters I've ever seen or heard of in my entire life. People who make $300,000 a year are somehow buried in debt. Jimmy Kimmel's leaving for Italy. All that. I'm going to do like 20 emails or maybe less, but I'm going to try to do a lot of emails and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's cover a couple of things we've talked about before, but it's going to matter as it pertains to the current state of the Democrat Party and how and why they're being rejected by every demographic except for 65 plus. Every demographic. Listen to what J.D. Vance said about Kamala Harris after the election.
No, I'd never seen it before. And there was a bit of a controversy. I don't remember exactly.
He's talking about the vice president's residence.
No, I'd never seen it before. And there was a bit of a controversy. I don't remember exactly what had happened, but I think that normally it's customary for the outgoing vice president to show the incoming vice president's family the house. Mm-hmm. And we have three little kids, so I guess at the time our kids were like 7, 5, and, you know, 2. I guess Mirabel turned 3 right before the inauguration. And so, you know, now they're a little bit older, but, you know, they had never seen this house, and Usha really wanted to show them. So what we actually proposed is, recognizing the weirdness of the politics, can Usha take the kids over and just show them where they're going to be living for the next 4 years, and they were rebuffed.
Hey, it's not even J.D. Vance. After the election. Hey, Dome, my wife. We have 3 little kids, adorable little kids. You mind if the wife comes over with the kids and poke around? They're kids. It's their new house. Dad's vice president. They don't probably fully grasp how cool that is yet, but Dad's vice president, mind if the kids go out? Hey, this is my room. You know, stuff kids do. Dome says, no. Okay. We've had this talk before. Let's talk again about this. About what the beating heart of the modern Democrat Party now is versus what it was. The Democrat Party used to be, at various points in its history, it used to be branded, it wasn't always this way, but it used to be branded as a broad coalition of blue-collar people from every aspect of life. That is not, just don't email me, they were never blue-collar. Stop. I'm talking about the branding and who they used to try to placate. The branding was always rich people vote Republican, poor people vote Democrat. We're the party of the working class. If you work construction, if you wash dishes, if you're a maid, if you're a whatever you are, we're not those rich muckety mucks. We are the normal people who work with our hands. That was the branding. And because that was the main constituency of the Democrat Party, that was their power base, that was their voting base, the things they did, the things they said, the way they conducted themselves was almost always in an effort to placate the base, play for the base. AC/DC doesn't come out and play Mozart. That's not what they're doing. AC/DC fans are there. They want to hear rock. Go play me some. Period. End of story. The Democrat Party well, really every political party, they're going to play to their power base, the ones who will volunteer and donate and knock on doors. That's who they're going to talk to. But something happened. Something wonderful for us, terrible for them and terrible for the country, but wonderful for the right, I should say. Wonderful for the Republicans, but terrible for the United States and terrible for the Democrat Party. They started to shift. They slowly but surely started to shift. And the Democrat Party got conquered by feminists, by nasty, bitter women. Nasty, bitter, oftentimes mentally ill women. They're not just some fringe part of the Democrat coalition now. They are the heartbeat of the Democrat coalition now. They are. When Democrats get up now and they give a speech and it sounds like they're speaking some foreign language, it's like they're not even trying to talk to you, not even trying to earn your trust or earn your vote. It's because they are talking to a different species. They're talking to the most vicious, violent creatures on the face of the planet. Mentally ill liberal white women. Those are the heartbeat of the Democrat Party. Now, we've talked about that before. Another thing we've talked about before, this is when I've spoken to the young ladies out there. I understand social contagions, peer pressure. I understand these things. And I understand what your favorite musician might say, what your friends might say, what Taylor Swift. I understand the things you hear. And I'm not here to talk you out of feminism for political reasons. But if you happen to be a young lady listening to my show, you can take this to the bank. What I'm about to say is not an opinion. It is a fact. If you succumb to the swan song of feminism, you go, girl. You can do anything a man can do, girl. Women are oppressed here. If you succumb to that, and it can be very appealing, especially when all your friends see that talk like that. All your friends are doing that. If you do that, everyone will hate you. Everybody. Nobody will want to be around you. You will find yourself isolated and alone for most of your life. And you will be isolated and alone because you're terrible to be around. There is nothing more pleasant to be around than a pleasant woman. Women, part of their role in life, I've always believed this, is they really can set the mood of a room. Large rooms and small rooms. My wife, if she walks into a room, and as she almost always is, she's all sunshine and goofy and dancing, and it's contagious. The whole room is lifted up, laughing, smiling. You ever been in a room when a nasty, bitter woman walks in? I hate Trump. Ah! It's like this dark cloud of misery descends into the room, and people don't want to be around it. You can succumb to that I am woman, hear me roar stuff. You can. Absolutely. Very easy. Very appealing. If you do, everyone will hate you. I'm not making a political argument. You will be alone most of your life because no one wants to be around you. A bitter woman is the worst thing in the world to be around. The worst thing. I'd rather be around a rabid dog than a bitter woman. Now, those two things combined have meant doom for the current Democrat Party. I don't believe they'll stay down forever. They'll wake up at some point. They'll recover. But those bitter, nasty, mentally ill, violent, vicious women, they now run every part of the Democrat Party apparatus, and it turns everybody off. I've had a bunch of emails recently about why young people, including young women, why are they going to the right? Young men, it's obvious. Young men are more rebellious. Young men don't want to be nagged at. Young men don't have any time for putting gay stuff in every daggone thing, and they're done with it. But why young women? Well, if you are a young woman today, maybe you don't know everything about politics and the world or whatever, and that's fine. Do you want to be bitter and angry? Look at the base of each party. Look at what makes up a Democrat base versus a Republican base. If you're a young woman today, which side do you want to be on? Of course, it's obvious. The Democrat Party has been conquered. Well, listen to the Teamsters president, Sean O'Brien, discussing his interaction with Kamala Harris.
We had a general executive board meeting probably around June of 2024. And there was an event that one of our vice presidents, Joan Corey, she's out of my local. She went to, I don't know if it was an Emily's List event, the day before our general executive board, and Vice President Harris was there. And so they do a photo op line. So Joan goes in the line and Joan says, I'm Joan Corey, I'm a vice president with the Teamsters Union. And she pointed her finger at Joan and said, Teamsters better get on board. And so Joan says, excuse me? Yeah, Teamsters better get on board. I don't know why you haven't endorsed me yet. So she comes back and she tells me this. And I'm like, the nerve, like the nerve. Her closing was, listen, I'm going to win with you or without you. And it was like such a smug answer, like, okay. And that turned the majority of the people in that room off.
Everyone hates a feminist. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we're going to get a lot of those tonight. We're going to get to a lot of those tonight, I could say. But this is just a little life lesson to open up the show. It's not just for women, and everybody hates a feminist and things like that. And the feminists have taken over the Democrat Party, and that's why they're so nasty to everybody. They treat everybody like crap. It's not just that. This is a lesson for all. Men, women, young, and old. Being nice can get you really, really far. And being nasty and rude will hold you back in ways you can't possibly imagine. You want to hear something unbelievably petty that I do? Unbelievably petty. I've told you before that we order food almost every day delivered to the studio. I buy food for the fellas. We had some cheesesteaks today, so on. It was wonderful. We don't have to go into it. You know, I have a new policy. I used to add an extra tip when I ordered it on my phone before they picked it up, before they delivered it. But this is what I discovered. If I add an extra tip, the drivers will scramble, take the order, and they'll take forever to pick it up. They just try to claim the extra tip. So I stopped doing it. Now, extra tip comes if you're polite. That's it. And look, it's not like I need you to roll out the red carpet when you hand me my food. If it's, hey, today, just went outside. Hey, man, how you doing? He said. I said, I'm good, brother. How are you? Man, I'm good. It's raining out. Yeah, anyway, enjoy your day. Boom, extra tip automatically. If I get the smug Houston, this is such a Houston thing, the smug Houston, yeah, here you go, dog, my life sucks. No tip. Goodbye. Does that bitter, nasty person driving away know why they didn't get any extra money? No, they have no idea. But they'll have no idea their entire life why they didn't get the next job, they didn't get the next girl, the next man, they didn't get to anything. Life will just be artificially crappier because you couldn't put a smile on your freaking face. Just remember that. Let's do some emails. Jesse, I agree Trump will get no deal. This is about the Trump-Putin prediction. Putin is winning and he has no reason to stop. Zelensky figures he will continue to get support from the EU. Trump has already tipped his hand that he sees no deal. My question is, then what? Okay, then what? All right. Trump talked about this today.
Will Russia face any consequences if Vladimir Putin does not agree to stop the war after your meeting on Friday?
Yes, they will. Yeah.
What will the consequences
there will
be?
Consequences.
Sanctions, tariffs?
There will be, I don't have to say, there will be very severe consequences, yes.
Okay, very severe consequences. And there are a couple things to keep in mind here, first of all, before Trump goes into this meeting, and it's a very important meeting, and I hope you join me in praying that it is a successful meeting. Let's end the war and carnage. Let's hope they come to some kind of an agreement and it all ends. That should be everyone's desire. There are young men dying in droves, young women being widowed, young children being orphaned on every side. This is horrible. Let's hope it stops. But first of all, let's talk about deal making, which Donald Trump is excellent at. He's, look, he wrote a book on it. He's lived a life of doing this, an international businessman who does deals. You have to have leverage. Very severe consequences. But what does that mean? People are freaking out. Well, it's going to be World War III. Donald Trump is not going to start dropping nukes if Russia rejects his deal on Friday. Calm down. Calm down. But Donald Trump also, he's done this several times before. He does it all the time. Understands that part of doing deals when you're president of the United States of America involves carrots and sticks. Carrots and sticks, period. When I, Ob didn't sleep for a couple nights. She hadn't slept for a couple nights last week. Her neck was kind of messed up. She couldn't sleep. I texted the boys. Take care of your mother. Hey, mom's a little tired. Help her out with dinner. Help her. Lend an extra hand. Make sure that you're there for her. And with my sons, because they've lived with me for their entire lives, they understand there's probably a carrot waiting for me if I help mom out. And there's definitely a stick if I don't. It is implied. Look, if I get home and Aubrey tells me the boys were extra wonderful tonight, I'm probably going to slip them some ice cream. Hey, maybe an hour of video game time on a school night, which they don't get. Go ahead. If I get home and I hear the boys didn't do a thing, it's going to be trouble in the Kelly household and not trouble for me. You have to have a stick. Donald Trump has to say there will be severe consequences. And maybe you don't like that because this gets into some really ugly things. You know, what does that mean? Does it mean people dying? Does it mean economic sanctions, which we're about to talk about in a moment? But a guy like Vladimir Putin wouldn't understand anything else. That's the only language a guy like that is going to understand. There has to be a stick looming, or why would he be incentivized to do anything? Remember, Putin is the one with the leverage. He holds the land. They can't get him out. He's got the leverage. We'll continue on this in a moment. Before we continue on this, do you love your dog? When you look at your dog, what would you do? What would you give if you could have them for an extra year? No matter how old they are, if you could tack an extra year with that big fluffy idiot, what would you do? That's why I sprinkle Rough Greens on Fred's food. That's why I speak so lovingly about Rough Greens. It's not just that Rough Greens cured Fred's digestive issues. He has a naturally upset stomach. I don't want to go into it. That's gone now. That's gone. It's that when I see the difference in his coat, in his energy, in his breath, I know that Fred is getting nutrition he never got before. And I know, fingers crossed, it'll give us one more year with that big fluffy idiot. Try a free Jumpstart trial bag. Sprinkle it on your dog's food. It's number one in America for a reason. 214-ROUGH-DOG or go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Of course, it's a hump day. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, so Trump has this big meeting on Friday. We already talked about it. We touched on it yesterday. And Jewish producer Chris just asked, don't the people in that region want to be part of Russia? Well, okay, let's just rewind just a little bit here. One, I'm sorry to inform you, but you cannot believe a single thing anybody says about what the people in that region want. Because everybody, just always remember this, write it in stone, etch this in stone. As the old, it's very ancient, the proverb goes, in war, the first casualty is the truth. Everybody in a war lies about everything all the time. The lies begin the second the fighting begins always has, always will. You lie about casualties. You lie about troop strength. You lie about the mood of the public. You lie about this. You lie about that. All war is based on deception. I believe that's Sun Tzu, but also that's me, Bronco. Either what, Chris? But either way, everyone lies. What I will tell you about this particular region is, remember, Ukraine was obviously a former part of the Soviet Union. That's when Stalin was starving everybody to death. So this is a place that's gone back and forth and back and forth. But relatively recently, I'll just put it that way, it was a place that was, I don't know if Russian puppet is fair, but it's pretty fair. Russia had a big say-so in their government. Their government was never going to do anything to anger Russia. We'll put it that way. The West wanted that area for a variety of reasons, not just to counter Russia, as we've talked about, for the resources, for the warm water port. The West did not want Russia to control such a valuable part of the world. On top of the food resources, I should note, it's called the world's breadbasket for a reason. Ridiculous food resources, okay? So the West engineered, look, it was a coup. Okay? The West engineered a coup. We bounced the Russian government, the pro-Russian government. We installed our own. Now, this is something we Americans don't fully understand by the grace of God. I'm glad we don't. What is it? What is it like for you, for me, when the area you know, the area you love, gets conquered by a foreign government? What are you? I'll use this as an example. I live in the Houston area of Texas, obviously not very far from the Mexican border. Let's say Mexico gathers its troops. They all gather together and yell,
Buenas tardes.
And they march north. And they somehow defeat America, which obviously would not happen, but they somehow defeat America and they take Texas, okay? Just Texas. Mexico has conquered Texas and the war is over. There's a peace agreement. The war's over. Now I am here in Houston. I am still in my same neighborhood with my same friends, my same family, the same school for the kids. I still come to work in the same studio, the same church, the same restaurants, the same this, the same that. All my friends speak English and a lot of Spanish, but they all speak English. But we are underneath the Mexican government. What would that be like? Odd? Yeah, of course. A little scary, too? Probably. Other parts of the world, not just Ukraine, other parts of the world, they live like that all the time. Every generation, there's a new war and they lose a border area here and then there's another war and then it's back to the other place. And then that's what it's like in so many parts of the world. In the eastern portion of Ukraine, it is Russian speaking. That's true. And in the eastern portion of Ukraine, because they are more ethnically Russian than ethnically Ukrainian, the newer pro-Western government viewed them, probably not incorrectly, but viewed them as, that's probably where the enemy's going to be. Those are probably going to be saboteurs. Those are probably going to be people we need to watch out for. How would the Mexican government look at Texans if they conquered Texas the way I just said? Do you think the Mexican government would be giving an extra watchful eye on Texas, on Texans? Hey, if there's going to be a rebellion, if there are going to be spies, if there's going to be a problem, it's going to come from those freaking Texans. Of course they would. Ukraine was the exact same thing. All those Russians. And they did, if we're being fair, they did put into place policies that kind of did treat them like second-class citizens. Ah, those are the Russian people. Well, Vladimir Putin, I don't know what's in his heart. I can't speak to that. I think he's probably a really bad guy, but I can't speak to what's in his heart. But I know this. I don't have to speak to what's in his heart. I know how he sells himself and how he maintains his popularity and avoids coups in his country. It's not just that he murders all his political opponents, which of course he does. Vladimir Putin sells himself as the protector of Russian peoples. That is his branding. It is how he campaigns. He is Mr. Russia, Mr. Russian. He loves Russia. He loves Russians. And if you are a Russian, Vladimir Putin is your Batman. So he sells himself. So if the reputation is that there are a bunch of Russians in eastern Ukraine being mistreated by the Ukrainian government, and Vladimir Putin wants the territory anyway, and don't kid yourself, he wanted the territory, he wanted the wealth, he wanted the resources, he wanted the port. What better way is there to sell that invasion than by going to Russia and saying, our people are under attack. They are under attack by a hostile government. It would be no different than Donald Trump after the Mexicans took Texas, standing up in front of the American people and saying, Texans are American. These are our people, and they are being trashed by the Mexican government. Do you stand with me in taking back Texas? What would be the approval numbers on that war? His approval numbers would be through the roof. Why is the war still popular in Russia when droves and droves of Russians have been killed? Because that's how it's sold in Russia. Look at me, grab a vodka, we're going to protect Russians. That's the situation we stuck our nose in. He invaded. The West decided he, at any cost, could not have it. But he took it. The Ukrainian forces, this is no dog on them. They didn't have a chance. They don't have near enough people. They don't have the equipment. They don't have the people. They had no chance. The Ukrainian forces were not strong enough to resist the Russian forces and keep them out of the areas Vladimir Putin wanted. When's the last time you looked at a map of that area? Vladimir Putin took everything he wanted, probably and then some. He just took it. And he can't get him out. Now, you can hate all that, but life isn't nursery rhymes. Captain America is fiction. He has it. He's held it. We've killed legions of those friggin' Ruskies, and they still won't leave. And he has shown not even the tiniest sign that he's interested in giving it back. So, what do we do? Well, you can threaten him, and Trump did. I don't think the threats are military in nature. I think they'll all be economic sanctions. But let's say he does that. Let's say he slaps Vladimir Putin with some severe economic sanctions. I don't know why we're doing so much foreign policy, but it's worth talking about because this is going to be a big story this week. Remember that gets complicated too. We'll talk about that next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. And now we continue on. I'll wrap up this foreign policy talk because we'll talk a bit about the cartel stuff, the foreign-born population down, Democrats freaking out because the lies don't work anymore. Before we get to that, let's finish this. So what do you do to Russia if... I say when, but if Vladimir Putin says, I'm not interested. No, I'm not giving all that back. And look, remember, to make peace, it takes two. To make war, it takes one. To make peace, it takes two. If one person decides you're at war, you're at war. If the guy across the street walks across the street and punches you in the face, it really doesn't matter that you didn't feel like having a fight. You're in a fight. You better start slugging. But to make peace, you both have to agree. Zelensky, the head of Ukraine, let me ask you this, honestly. Do you think he wants it to end? Now, I don't know what's in his heart either, but if he has a deep abiding love of his country and his people, which I don't know, and neither do you, but if he has a deep love of his country and his people, then of course he wants it to end. Doesn't mean he has to give up, but means he wants it to end. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, because it is so common when it comes to leaders of nations, let's say he doesn't love his country. Doesn't mean he hates it. I'm not saying that, but you know the three characteristics they all have in common. No love of country is number one. It's just not something that's on his mind. You know, we were talking yesterday about our 250th birthday coming next year. 250th birthday for America, and how ridiculously awesome it's going to be to celebrate this place. And you're going to get involved, and I'm going to get involved. It's going to be awesome. You think he feels that way about Ukraine? I don't know. I don't know. But let's say, for the sake of argument, he doesn't. And that would be a fairly safe bet, given how most world leaders feel. If he doesn't look at the wiped out state of the cities, you're conscripting 50-year-olds, dragging teenagers off the streets because so many Ukrainian men are dead. If that doesn't bother him, then what does that mean? That means it's all about him. That's what happens. You get intoxicated with power. You think you're the most important thing in the world, the only important thing in the world. What if he thinks it's all about him? Has this war been bad for him? Did you even know before Putin's tanks crossed the line? Did you even know the name of the Ukrainian president? Don't lie. You didn't. And I look, I'm not pointing fingers. Neither did I. Nor did I care about it. I'm not a big foreign policy guy. Everyone knows his name now. World famous. World famous. Let me tell you something. Have you ever done, most people haven't, but since I've gotten to do this, since I've started doing this, now that I'm a huge important celebrity, but seriously, ever since I started doing this, like the book, like remember I wrote that book, and we showed up at the first book signing. And this happened at every one of the book signings we did. But the first one is what floored me. Because I sit here and I'm essentially talking to you, but I can't see you. All I can see is Chris, and that's brutal. I can't see you. I don't even know that people are listening. I know that, but you understand what I mean. You show up at a book signing, first book signing, and they're lined up around the block to see me. Felt good. It did. I'm not going to lie. Felt good. Wow. People like it. People enjoy it. People enjoy this stuff. Now, what does it feel like to have the president of the United States of America roll out the red carpet for you? And then you hop on a private jet and you fly to the UK and they've got the royal band and all that there. And then you're flying to, what does that feel like? I can tell you what 400 people at a book signing feels like. I can't tell you what it feels like to have the leaders of nations embracing you. How many United States senators, Democrat and Republican, have gone over there for special photo ops, actors, actresses. He's not only an international celebrity now, cheered for everywhere. Rumor has it, he's quite rich now. Wild how that happened. But anyway, quite rich now. What if Zelensky doesn't want it to end? Remember that little, well, I don't want to make accusations, allegedly cocaine-fueled outburst he had at the White House in front of Trump and J.D. Vance? He showed up there. The deal was done. The binders were already prepared. They had already scheduled the press conference. Hey, it was a formality. Sits there, freaks out, blows the entire thing up. He has to agree too. It's not even if Trump walks in there, nails the deal, closes Vladimir Putin, signed, sealed, delivered. Zelensky has to agree. Got a long road ahead. Long road ahead. All right. Look, I can't make that better. I can make your pain better though. I can make your pain possibly disappear. What hurts on you? What is it? People get pains, and that pain comes from inflammation. Is it your hands? Do you rub your hands? You ever rub them? Does they hurt? Is it your elbow? Back pain? Gosh, back pain. Is there anything more debilitating than freaking back pain? Why don't you try Relief Factor? All I'm asking is that you try it. 3 weeks. They sell a 3-week quick start. It's $19.95. Less than a dollar a day might take your pain away. Yes, that rhymed, and I did it on purpose. Try it. If it doesn't work, don't order anymore. It's a daily supplement, drug-free. 1-800, the number 4, relief, or go to relieffactor.com. Now, before we get back to the emails, I wanted to talk about this general concept. This is Joe Scarborough.
I will just go back to the fact that, you know, the people that are cheering this on privately are not like right-wing Republicans, are not MAGA people. A lot of our friends are in the media, and also Democrats that worked on Joe Biden's campaign, that worked on other campaigns, that are saying, yeah, I'd like to feel safe walking around this city. If the federal government can be a positive partner in keeping the streets safe, while again, forming a partnership with the D.C. police and not taking over, then at least the people I've spoken with that live in D.C. day in, day out, see this as a positive step.
Okay. How many, we're about to have a long talk about normie Democrats, if they exist, how many of them there are. We're about to talk about suffering the consequences of how you vote. We are about to take apart a lot from this. In fact, I have sound bites from Trump, from DC's Attorney General, from Fox News, MSNBC. I have sound from all over the place. Let's tackle this issue and what we think about this issue, and then we'll do more emails. All right? Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.